Welcome to the Willingdon On Mission podcast, a place where you can hear stories of how God is working and consider how He might be calling you to engage in His mission. You can find other episodes online at willingdon.org. Now, here's our host, John Best.
So welcome to this episode of the Willingdon On Mission podcast. My name is John. Get to be one of the pastors at Willingdon Church. Today I'm sitting at Willingdon with one of our missionaries, Johan Matthies. Hey, Johan.
Hello. Good morning.
which language are you going to choose?
I was thinking, which part of the world are we in? Is it morning, evening, or what?
It's morning. Johan has been using some German. He'll use some Russian later on today. Wonderful to have you here.
Thank you.
Johan, can you just give us a glimpse? Many of us know you in this church family, but just give us a glimpse of who you are.
Okay.
How's that for a broad question?
Yeah. I have family, and my family is in Germany. We have three children, and one of them is also on full-time work with our mission in Lithuania, and with the expectation to soon be in Myanmar. So we have, as a family, been church planting and reaching out to Muslims and unreached people groups before this assignment, mm-hmm. which allows me to lead a region in the work of Multiply, and we call it Central Asia and Europe. So it goes from Mongolia to Portugal and includes Turkey.
So that's a pretty big region. So Johan spends a lot of time on airplanes.
Yeah. That is probably not true, because my region is fairly compact in the sense, like Europe, like Canada is probably larger than Europe. So yeah. So we have low fare, quick flights, and each destination is with a different airline. So literally, there's not one airline I have privileges with.
Okay. So that's helpful to know.
Yeah, but if people just think, you know, I'm like an executive up in the air most of the time. But no, we have feet on the ground.
Wonderful. So one of the regions, we're just going to dive in right now, one of the regions that you have lots of ministry in, lots of relationship, is Ukraine. And Ukraine obviously is in the midst of a huge turmoil. And I'm wondering if you can just give us a sense of the kind of ministry engagements that you're engaged in, but also what's the state of the Mennonite Brethren Church there these days?
Our denomination, Mennonite Brethren, and our mission, Multiply, have their roots in Ukraine. Mm-hmm. In the southeast of Ukraine, areas today occupied by Russian forces. So that gives us a focus in what we were doing, where we were doing it, and why we're so affected by it today. Mm-hmm. Right at the end of January, I observed different types of military built up on the border with Ukraine, because that were now interior troops. The National Guard, which is basically created to suppress any rebellion or any expression of civil society in Russia. And now I knew this is to suppress and to control occupied territories that the war would then, you know, give it Russia. So that led me to do a quick move by bringing cash into Ukraine and help our Ukrainian churches to set up and prepare for evacuations. February 24th, the war began, and after that, nothing was the same anymore. I knew that our church in Berdyansk would not be able to evacuate, because it would be the first city to be attacked on the Azov Sea. But others have dispersed and evacuated. By now we have lost all our buildings and our ministries, charity, but also old folks home in Petersagen, or what it's called, Kutuzovka now. So let's just say, all of our families of leaders are affected. They are broken up, because wives and children are abroad. men cannot leave if they are in the age group of, in the age bracket of 18 to 60. And so the social cost is very high, but it's not of choice. It is just by the martial law that is now in Ukraine.
So just to clarify, when you say families are broken up, it doesn't mean that they've, like, that their marriages have disintegrated and they've become divorced. It means that they're physically separated from each other, right? And so that's got to have a huge effect on the life of these families, the life of these leaders. How have you seen these leaders function and deal with loss and with the separation?
The situation is not just with ministers. We have over a million refugees right now in Germany, mostly mothers with children. So over 300,000 children entered this school year in Germany with children not knowing German. So our people share the fate and destiny of their own people. But how are they doing? I'll mention two. One is Sergei. Sergei was a church planter in Kiev, and they were working very hard, trying not to rely on outside resources. And for 5 years, they were church planting in Kiev, and had to address very poor people, a lot of brokenness. So on my trip prior to the war, I stayed with them, and it turned out they could not have children. And then we just stood in the night of the railway station of Kiev, and I prayed with them. And recently, I had the joy of having a baby in my hand. And but then what happened is that the baby was born a bit early, and it was born in Bielefeld, Germany, where Nastya is. And Sergei could not join because his permit ran out. He's recognized by the state of Ukraine as an international relief coordinator. So as such, he can at times leave Ukraine on a short trip, and then he has to bring a certain... there are expectations attached, what he brings back and how much. So he ran out of that permit, was waiting for a new permit, missed the birth of his first child. But then there was a day when we all met in Bielefeld. His pastor from the sending church, he and his wife and us, me with my wife, and then we prayed over the baby. And Sergei said, of course, we would have dreamed that our first baby would be dedicated in a church, but we no longer have a church. To which then Pastor Oleksiy from Molochansk, his sending church, said, yes, the church is still there, still here. And it's right now gathered in this living room and this apartment in Bielefeld. So we, as a church in Bielefeld, a church in the diaspora church or in dispersion, all of a sudden we had the grace and the joy of having three couples together and blessing this child together. And then after a week or two, after we filled the vans and organized the efforts for the few next weeks, both Sergei and Oleksiy had to leave their wives and children and return back. And they return back not just across the border. Just across the border, we have a shelter and a relief center, like a hub for our relief. But then they take that right where it's needed most, and that is where the war is happening. And so to places like Avdiivka. And as we are speaking today, Oleksiy is driving in a van from Odessa to Kherson, the city that has seen warfare this week and was freed by the Ukrainian forces just this week.
Wow. Okay. So this is very real, very challenging, but God also keeps showing up, it sounds like, and providing what's needed in wonderful ways. What would be, Ukraine is one of the flashpoints in the news for us. What would be ways that we should be praying?
We have the promises of God, and sometimes we sing them in triumphalist ways, even in our worship services. that God has things under control, that his power is unchallenged, that his love is stronger than death, that his light overcomes any darkness, that love and goodness overcomes hatred. And we are celebrating that, and we should, but in a war, we have to humble ourselves before God and say, yes, we know none of this comes of our own, is of our own making. We can't change the tide, but you can. I think this war, as probably every war, it will not be decided by who's armed more or dedicated more, though of course everything plays a role in the war. But in Jesus, everything was created, the visible and the invisible, so we should not assume that the war is being fought just in the visible by tanks and rockets. Yes, Ukraine has not enough arms to defend itself. But God in the invisible world is answering the prayers. And then he creates the stories that we then celebrate, where we see his attention, his care, his mercy. And then he can turn the tide.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I'm going to change the conversation a little bit, or turn the conversation, I guess. You and I had the opportunity to be in Lithuania in June of 2022, and Willingdon had the opportunity to participate in what God's doing in Lithuania, and we continue to have that opportunity on a number of fronts. One of the places that we visited was called LCC International University, which is a school that you're deeply connected to. You're on the board of directors there.
Yes.
There are some really wonderful stories of connection and God showing up at this school and through this school. Can you just talk a little bit?
Yes. The school is led by Marlene Wall, who used to be one of our board members. And our mission and our churches have had a long history of involvement with this school. The school currently has 750 students, and they come from 65 countries. Mm. I've heard voices saying maybe a third of our student body has mental health issues that go back to violence and trauma from political oppression and from war. We invite those people on purpose. Like, there's a Middle Eastern scholar program in which we bring in students from Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, Iran, and but we also have a huge population. Actually, our largest population is Ukrainian, and but Ukraine is at war with Russia, and Belarus is part of that. Is also a war party. There are other countries like Tajikistan and Kyrgyzstan at war, Armenia and Azerbaijan, and then we could go and say, well, even our children who are ministering there and teaching, they have just escaped the war in Myanmar. Mm-hmm. So the existential experience of being challenged where you're very right to even live is taken away from you. Creates a community in which people are more vulnerable, more honest, I would also say. Mm-hmm. And then where the need for reconciliation and is needed even more. So we have some peace center there, but forever I am concerned that whenever we say peace, the sentence needs to also include the Prince of Peace. Mm. Because if we will aim to create peace through dialogue, peace through charity, peace through mediation, peace through anything short of the Prince of Peace, then the demons of war are just being brushed differently by us than others. Mm. And we will not see peace. I've been in rooms, I've been in a room once bringing in my colleague and friend Nasser from Saudi Arabia. And he was in the room all of a sudden with believers, followers of Christ, from Iran, from Turkey, from the Middle East, and especially from Iran. And this is for the first time that I caught the vision of world peace that we only, most often we say world peace in a joke, but here I saw it actually in one room.
In beauty pageants, in, right?
That's yes. World. Because here, no Saudis and Iranians in the world, anywhere in the world, get along, like or the other groups from even within these countries, also suffering from racism and discrimination. And all of a sudden, in the room, people first looked unbelievably, and like what? And like you're from Saudi Arabia, really? You are following Christ, and then just seeing the unity that the body of Christ can experience that is not available to others. So this is why the gospel is such good news. It actually can bring reconciliation. It can bring peace, and then that we are merciful with each other, as we approach each other's challenges and share each other's burdens.
So later this afternoon, you showed up at Willingdon today on a Sunday to do a variety of things. Later this afternoon, you get a chance to meet with a family from Afghanistan. Can you, how in the world did that happen? There's a bit of a story that I would love for our people to hear.
Afghanistan is on my heart because my sister went as a worker to Afghanistan and raised 6 children there with her husband. And so Afghanistan, I've visited Afghanistan before, so I'm always alert when Afghanistan is highlighted or I meet Afghans. So I was recently visiting our team in Turkey, and they have a laundromat ministry there for refugees from Afghanistan. Just to give you the size of the operation, like the city has 800,000 inhabitants and plus 300,000 refugees.
Okay.
So this is the needle in the haystack. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That I discovered there, and I met a young Afghan woman of 24 years old, and she said she used to study it in Kabul University, but it all ended through the Taliban taking over power and not leaving any space for women to participate in education or in public life. And so here she was, a refugee with her family, a mother with 5 children. And I said, we already mentioned here in this podcast, even LCC, I said, there's an opportunity for you that I'm aware of where you could continue and complete your studies. And to show her that this is not a theoretical possibility, I showed her a picture of Sean and Judy Fast in Lithuania, and with 2 Afghans in their living room having been invited for dinner. And I showed this to this young woman, and she immediately knew the name of the Afghan lady, okay, the Afghan student in the picture, saying, well, I know her from Kabul University. Like, we are friends. She's an accomplished artist. And she got totally excited. So this is how the conversation went. Immediately, we connected Afghanistan, Turkey, Germany, Lithuania, Canada. It was already all in the mix. And then we prayed for this young Afghan woman and her family, and blessed her, and God touched her heart enough that she shared about this experience with others. And as I was communicating with her, trying to usher her into LCC with English tests and, you know, academic credentials and all of those things, trying to help her also financially, she said, Johan, my sister walked into a church in Canada. I didn't even know she has a sister in Canada. She said, she walked into a church in Canada where everyone knows you. She said, and I didn't know what she's talking about and what church, because she couldn't explain it either. But this week, as I was here in BC at Bakerview Church, sharing my story with the church, there was a colleague of mine, Greg Ouellet, who said, yeah, this Afghan girl, actually this is a married couple, walked into the church in Central Heights Church in Abbotsford and said, when asked, what are you here for? They said, we are looking for inner peace. And they said, what made you think that you can find it here? They said, we have a sister in Afghanistan and she has met Johan Matis, and he pointed her in this direction.
Wow.
And so this sister of my newfound friend, our friend, in the friend of our team in Turkey. Now I'm invited by her sister here in Burnaby, of all places. She lives here in Burnaby, and I'll be right after Willingdon Church. I'll go for an Afghan dinner. And the excitement about this is that none of this has a prehistory, or none of it has any of my orchestration. This is completely divine appointments. And God just shows that in the midst of a tragic war, like which war is more tragic than the Afghan one that is now... spans 30 plus years, that God knows everyone there by name, cares for them, and sets them up to receive good news and his favor.
Amen. Amen and amen. Let's close it off at that. That's an incredible story of God at work. With and he's uniquely positioned you and your family and multiply and churches. It's just a delightful.
So that gives me hope on the onslaught that people are now experiencing in Ukraine.
Yeah.
And we on our bags in which we distribute humanitarian aid, each bag says, "God is a quote from God. God speaking, saying, 'I will never forsake, never leave you.'" So, that gives us comfort. Even though we are not yet seeing the end of the war.
Yeah. Thank you, Johan. Let me pray for you. And thank you to those of you who are listening. I'd invite you to pray as well. Pray along. So, Lord, I want to thank you for how you have positioned and empowered and equipped Johan in these days, and the broader team as well. But since I'm sitting in the room with Johan specifically, I pray for Johan. I pray that you would continue to give him wisdom, give him favor, provide whatever it is that he needs in these days. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Thank you for having me here.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Willingdon On Mission podcast. We hope you have been inspired by your time with us today. To learn more about Willingdon's outreach ministries or to hear more episodes of this podcast, find us online at willingdon.org.